All right, in the book of Acts in chapter 9.
Acts chapter 9, we begin reading here in verse 20. And here we enter into, after Paul's conversion, what he does. And straightway, immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. After many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by a wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, amen, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Thank you for standing. Amen. In reverence to God's holy word, may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our heart. Now I want to bring two verses here together for our text in verse 17 and also in verse 31. Verse 17 says, "Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, amen, and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. Then verse 31 again, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied." Now here we're continuing our subject about sanctifying truth and spiritual growth in the lives of God's people. Of John 17:17, the Lord prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And then in the study of the book of Ephesians that we are springing off from in Ephesians 5:18, and we'll be picking up from there one of these days and going on in Ephesians. But we come here to the filling of the Holy Spirit. 5:18 of Ephesians, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. So we sprung off from that verse there about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now here, Paul, you remember as you study God's Word, Paul was a Pharisee. Amen. By confession. Very separated religious person. Amen. But then we find, after he got saved, he's a pattern in conversion of everybody that gets saved. He becomes a pattern conversion of 1 Timothy 1:16. Then after that, then he becomes here a preacher. A preacher of the Word of God, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has really changed this man in a great way. How thankful we need to be that God raised him up to preach the gospel. Amen. To the Gentiles. That was his mission. That was his calling. He was a preacher in his calling to the Gentiles. And he spread the gospel. God used him in a mighty way to preach the gospel. He preached things that even Peter didn't understand. He wrote of things that Peter said was hard to be understood. In the book of 1 Peter 3, 2 Peter should say, 2 Peter 3, in verse 16, Peter admitted that Paul wrote things that was hard to be understood. Amen. He didn't say it was impossible, but he said it's hard. You got to work at it. You got to pray. Amen. I found that to be so too. I've come to places in the Bible I found that I didn't know. And I'd pray over it and ask God to help me with it. Amen. Didn't happen right then, but maybe later. Later light would begin to shine on that very thing that I was trying to struggle with and find out what it meant. So here is Paul. God is using him in such a mighty way. The persecutor of Christ in the church is now become Paul, the preacher. Amen. Of the gospel. Come a member of the church, the Lord's church. He's joined up with them. He had a little problem, you know, getting joined up with them after a while because they didn't trust him. As you saw here in this chapter 9. But here Paul writes the Corinthian letter in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. That is, he's not saying he has nothing to glory in. He's talking about he had nothing in himself to glory in. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that called him to preach the gospel. What a glorious change, you see, God had made in his life. He wrote in the book of Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, in 13 through 15. He said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord and the faith of our Lord is exceeding abundant with faith and love, which was given unto me in Christ Jesus. All was given to him in Christ Jesus. That's the way it is with us and everybody else. Everything you have in salvation come to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing came from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, by the grace of God, is a gift from God to the churches. Amen. I want to read you something here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And while we're turning there, I mentioned this the other night about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I would preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. And here's Paul, just like every man of God, not everybody that says they're a man of God, but everybody that's a man of God, they're a gift from God to the church. Amen. Paul became also the apostle. And here in Ephesians 4:11, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You want to see why God gives pastors, yes, preachers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, all this? He said that we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here you see God's telling you and me that we need a pastor. You belong to God's church, you need a pastor, you need a teacher. You have the Holy Spirit, the greatest of all teachers, but yet God said, oh, you also need a human being. That's a teacher and a preacher. Amen. And I had one fellow one time, I remember, told me, he said, I don't need a pastor. And he was a deacon in the church. And just showing how stupid he was. He didn't know the Bible. That's why he was talking stupid. That's what goes back to a lot of folk talking stupid. They don't know what the Bible teaches. So here the Lord said, I've given you these men as gifts to the church. I'm a gift to you. Yes. I am a gift to you, this church, as your pastor, to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I got to dig in the Word myself. Dig in the Word myself to help you. Help you to dig in the Word. Amen. And here we find in the book of Acts, in chapter 15, look here at Paul. Here he's called into the ministry and he's going on his missionary work. Look at how God is using him here in the book of Acts in chapter 15 and verse 41. And here he's been on his missionary journey and coming back. And here you notice in 15:21 of Acts, he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches, strengthening the churches. A man of God, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, knows the Word of God, listen to God, and he's strengthening the churches. Amen. By the ministry which he brings to them by the Holy Ghost. You'll notice here in chapter 16 and verse 5, and here he is on his missionary journeys. And the Bible said in 16 and 5, that so were the churches established in the faith. Amen. And increased in number daily. So God is using him in a mighty way to strengthen the church. Now you've got to be a listener. If you just come here, you know, to sightsee, you're not going to get help. But if you come here to learn, to listen, and you're going to engage your mind, and you're going to engage your heart, you're going to engage the man himself, the woman himself, and I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to see what God will help me with today. So this is why this is going on. Now I want to give you three things by way of introduction here today. First of all, I want you to see here that Paul was a chosen vessel. Amen. In chapter 9 and verse 15. God said here in chapter 9 and verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, that's Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. So Paul was a chosen vessel. Amen. That means God picked him, sovereignly picked him to bear witness of God's eternal purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he chose you that are saved to go out here and give out the gospel, to bear witness to God's eternal purpose, which was purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you can put it down and read it later in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And he'll tell you there that Paul, here is a preacher of the Gentile, and they're forming views in him in a great way to preach to the churches, and it was because of God's eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ. Something that was hidden in God. Amen. How he would bring Jews Jew and Gentile together and form a body and call it his church. And so here Paul was a chosen vessel to do that. In the book of 1 Corinthians 1:17, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now listen to him if you turn in the book of Acts, if you can, if will, in chapter 22 of the book of Acts, and here he is. You know, he's being persecuted now himself, and he's standing here now before the many of these Jews in this Sanhedrin court, and they're out to kill him and to get rid of him. And here he's giving his testimony. In Acts chapter 22, Paul referred to his testimony, if you study the Word of God, at least nine times. Nine times. And somebody, I've heard preachers say, you don't want to talk about your testimony when you're talking to people. Yeah, you do too. You want to tell them about the Lord working in your life, how he saved you. There's a lot of people can't do that. Amen. They can't do that. They go to church. They profess, but they have no testimony. They can't talk to people about the Lord, how the Lord worked in their life, because they know nothing about that. But you see, he knew something about it. I know something about it. And God's people know something about that, giving a testimony how the Lord worked in their life and how he's been working in them ever since. So here in Acts chapter 22, he's referring here to his testimony again. Now come here to verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers, he's talking about what Ananias said to him, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. Now you know you don't find all of this back in Acts chapter 9. You find it here in Acts chapter 22. There's more here. You see, they have more light right here. Now I want to give you a little outline of this right here, about 5-point outline right here in what was said. First of all, you notice in verse 14 of Acts 22, you notice here, God, he said, God elected him. The God of our fathers has chosen thee. That's the first point. God elected him. Number two, God enlightened him. In verse 14, that thou shouldest know his will. God, dear friend, he chooses a people, and this took place in Christ before the world began, but God chose you, dear friend, in Christ, that you might know his will. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm on the way to heaven, that's all that matters. No, do you know what God's will is for your life? Do you know what God's will is for your life? God said here, he chose you, he elected you, and now he enlightened him to know his will. Number three, God enriched him. In verse 14, he said, and see that just one. That is, you're to learn more about Christ. You're to study the Word of God, study the Gospel, the Epistles, and learn more about Jesus Christ, that just one, and really get to see and experientially how great and wonderful the Lord Jesus is. Are you doing that? Have you been doing that? Are you camped down yonder where you say you got saved, and you've been camping there ever since? You ought to be moving on with Christ and know more about him, of who he is, and what he's done, and where he's at right now, and what he's doing. So here you notice also number four, God not only elected him, enlightened him, enriched him, God employed him. In verse 14, he said to hear that he shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. To hear the voice of his mouth, not just the day you got saved, but you're still to be hearing God's voice. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, and also in chapter 4, three times God said this, the Holy Ghost saith today, if you hear his voice. Three times he said that. Dear friend, you're to be listening. I'm to be listening to the Holy Ghost. Listen to his voice. Have you heard his voice lately? What has he said to you? What has he said to you when you read your Bible? Did anything jump off of there in your heart? Did God show you anything? I'm talking about here, God employed him to hear his voice. Number five, God empowered him and equipped him in verse 15. For thou shalt be His witness. We are to be what we are. A witness. A witness. And hear what thou hast seen and heard. A witness knows something.
Amen.
A witness has heard something. A witness, dear friend, has seen something. They have heard, they have seen, and they are known, and they know what they're talking about. They don't stutter around. They have something in their heart that is real, and they're able to speak of that. So here is Paul, a chosen vessel unto the Lord. That's a whole lot of preaching right there in Acts 22:14 in that testimony. And it applies to you that are saved. How many of us today are interested in this? How many are interested in those 5 points I just gave you? You need to look at that. And you need to examine yourself and see, am I living up to this? Is this real in my life? Number two, Paul was not only a chosen vessel, but Paul was a control vessel. Back in chapter 9 and verse 17, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? So here Paul was a control vessel. Being filled with the Holy Ghost means you're being controlled by the Holy Ghost. You're being led by the Holy Ghost. You're walking in the Holy Ghost. You're living by that day by day and seeking to know God's will for your life. So what God chooses, God cleanses, and God controls. When God chooses a person, He cleanses that person, and He controls that person by filling them with the Holy Ghost. And if I'm not filled and you're not filled, you're going to be filled with something. And you know what it'll be? You're going to be filled with self. Or you're going to be filled with worldliness. You'll be filled with carnality instead of being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what we have here. We are vessels of the Lord. Chosen vessels unto the Lord. God said in the book of Romans 9:22, hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel to honor, another to dishonor? Did he not tell us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 and 21? He tells you there is a great house, and in a great house there are vessels of honor, there's vessels of dishonor, there's vessels of gold, there's vessels of silver, vessels, you see, of earth and wood. And he said, if any man will purge himself from all these things that he mentioned about above there, if you purge yourself from some things, you see, that will hinder you from being a vessel for the Lord, he said, you will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for every good use, prepared for every good use. You'll be a vessel God can use. Friend, listen, you are a vessel. You're either a vessel of wrath, or you're a vessel of God's mercy. Everybody here today, there's two kinds of vessels in this world. You're either a vessel of wrath, or you're a vessel of mercy. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a vessel of mercy to bear witness to the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me back in the Old Testament for a little bit. Back here in chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 43 and verse here 21. Listen to what he said here. These are some wonderful verses here about what it is about being saved. And I want you to notice in chapter 43 in verse 21 of the book of Isaiah, God said here, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God said, I formed you. You're to show forth my praise. Look at chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 61 and verse 10. He said here in chapter 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. What am I going to do? I'm going to greatly rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to give him honor. I'm going to give him glory. Look over here to the next prophet in the book of Jeremiah chapter 13. You might want to mark these verses in the Bible to remind you there to take a look at them sometime and meditate on them. And here in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 11, listen to what God says here. The prophet already said in Isaiah, now Jeremiah, they don't contradict one another. They say the same thing. Jeremiah 13:11, and he said, "For as a girl cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear." Look at that. God had a purpose, and here it is. And I'm going to chapter 17. We'll sum this up in just a little bit. Chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah and verse 14. Then Jeremiah's a praying here, and he said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Thou art my praise." You give God the glory and the praise. He is number one in your life if you're saved by the grace of God. Now let me quote you from the New Testament. Here it is in the book of Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. What about 1 Peter 2:9-10? There he said, "We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He's brought us out of darkness into light. We might show forth the praises of Him." Might show forth the praises of Him that's brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light, which at one time was not even a people, but now we're the people of God. Amen. One time we had not mercy, but now we have mercy. God said, "I chose you, I set you apart, I've saved you, and I've set you apart for you to show forth my praises." That's the way we're to live in this life, is our life is to be a very praise unto God. That is, when people look at us, whether they agree with us or not, they can see the difference in our life. There's something there that will remind them of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a Christian is. This is the way we're to live day by day, reminding us that there is another way to live. It's the Christ life. You are to show forth His praises. I wonder how many people, listen, I'm not fussing this morning. I'm preaching. I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell the truth. Wonder how many of us here this morning said this past week, "Hallelujah to God." Wonder how many this past week said, "Praise the Lord." You said, "Hallelujah, God. Praise the Lord." I mean, you was giving that to the Lord. You wasn't saying it about something, you know, because something you bought said, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Or something you bought, "Praise the Lord." No, you're praising God, you know. You're looking up and giving God praise and glory in your prayer, reading in the Bible, along with God in your devotion, and you stop and give God a little praise, a little glory. Say, "Hallelujah." I wonder how many of us done that in this past week, but you done it this morning in a song, but you didn't do it at home. You done it in the song as you sung. Well, we're getting down where the river meets the road, ain't we?
Amen.
We don't just come to church to worship.
Amen.
You're to have a church at home.
That's right.
If you ain't got church at home, you ain't going to have church when you get here.
Yes.
It's got to be at home.
Amen.
And we're wasting our time. Paul was a chosen vessel. Paul was a controlled vessel. Paul, number four, was a committed vessel. He's a committed vessel in chapter 9 and verse 16. God said, "Here I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Here's a committed vessel. Paul was favored by God, filled with the Holy Ghost, fitted by God, counted to be faithful as Paul would suffer for Christ, and he would suffer for the Lord because the Lord suffered for him. And we love him because he first loved us in 1 John 4:19. That bears witness the same in our being chosen and being elected. We chose him because what? He first chose us. We love him because he first loved us. And it's the same way in election. We chose him because he first chose us. And here Paul, dear friend, is a chosen vessel. He's not living for himself any longer. He's living for the Lord. And he told us in the book of 1 Timothy 1:12. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who has enabled me, put me into the ministry, counted me faithful.
Amen.
Counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. Wouldn't you like to be found faithful in the eyes of the Lord every day? Wouldn't you like to be found faithful in the eyes of the Lord as you walk with God day by day, want to please the Lord? Amen. This is what this is about in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Listen to him writing over here. You remember Acts chapter 9, they had to let him down in a basket. They're going to kill him there. And then he writes about it again in the chapter 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians about this very thing happening. I'm turning to 2 Corinthians 11:23. And read down through these verses here, beginning in verse 23, and he said, I'm a minister of Christ. Are these ministers of Christ? Those men that they're listening to trying to deceive the church? He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison, more frequent in deaths off of the Jews 5 times, received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching, often in hunger, thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. This is what's going on over there to a lot of people right now in the Ukraine and other places across this world. These things are happening to some of them right now. Beside those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern mine infirmities. The God of the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, now he's taking us back to Acts chapter 9. In Damascus, the governor under Artes, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. This is what happened in Acts chapter 9 when he put him in that basket. Oh God. You see, there was only one way in the city. There was only one way out of the city, and that was through gates. And so Paul would have to go through those gates. Sure, they'd catch him. They wanted to kill him. No, God providentially worked it out. And here he is now in the providence of God, the mystery of God's providence. God had a basket there, and God had some ropes there, and God had some people there, and going to lay him down over the wall, and he escapes. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
You see how God works, folks. God already had a basket waiting.
Right.
Waiting for Paul. Just waiting for him to come along. And had the people there waiting to help him. Had the ropes there waiting to help him. Friend, I'm amazed at the providence of God, how he's worked in my own life in many ways and many times. Now I thank God and I say, Lord, thank you for your providence. I've even had people to lie to me. Lie to me, and I didn't know whether it's telling the truth or not. And then through the providence of God, God would make it known that they lied. God would bring a thing about in his providence to let me know they had lied.
Praise God.
And I say, there it is, Lord. They lied to me. God knows how to work, friend. He knows how to work.
Amen.
I want to tell you, you can't fool God. Some people think they can. Now, back in Acts chapter 9, we could say a whole lot about these things here. There's a whole lot more we could add to this, but I want to get into the main part of the message here. Chapter 9, verse 17. We're coming now to the truth. The truth about a Holy Ghost-filled person. Number one, here's the truth of the amazement. The truth of the amazement of a Holy Ghost-filled man. In the book of Acts in chapter 9 and verse 17, I read again, and also in verse 21. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, that his own brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, he's being identified now with the very people that he once persecuted. Lays a hands on him, identifying with the church of the Lord that he once persecuted. In verse 21, he's filled with the Holy Ghost now in verse 21, but all that heard him, notice, here's the thought, the truth of the amazement of a Holy Ghost filled man. They are amazed. They're amazed at Paul. And said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? So here is the truth of the amazement of a Holy Ghost filled man. What does it mean amazed here? It said here, amazed means, oh, they are beside themselves. These folk are beside themselves. They're saying, this can't be so. Is he trying to bewitch us? It's the word here, bewitch. Is he trying to fool us? Is he trying to trick us? Is he trying to bewitch us? This is the word here, amazed. They don't believe that it's really so. Look back in chapter 8. You'll notice here, this is the same word here. The word amazed means to bewitched. Bewitched is Simon. The sorcerer had bewitched the people. And they think he's trying to trick them. In chapter 8 in verse 9 through 11, here's the same word. The word bewitched is the same word as that word amazed. And he said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched, amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest. And this man is a great power of God. But they was bewitched, just like a lot of folks have been bewitched by false teachers and false prophets. And they'll brag on them, you know how great they are, and then come to find out they're a false prophet. And they got sin in their lives and had it hid, but God brings it out. They thought that this Paul, that Saul, his name here was Saul, now he's going to be Paul, was trying to trick them, Simonize them by Simon bewitching the people. He's trying to bewitch us. That's why John tells us in the book of 1 John 4:1, try the spirits. Put them to the test. See whether they be of God. For there are many false prophets gone out into the world. Many. You got to test them. You got to try them. You got to put them to the test. The Bible tells. But if you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to be able to do that? If you're not led by the Holy Ghost, not filled with the Holy Ghost, how are you going to be able to do that?
Amen.
Listen, the Bible tells you in 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believer. Paul said, be an example of what it is to be a believer.
Amen.
Be an example of what it is to really be saved. In conversation, in charity, in word, in spirit, in faith, in love. He said, be a example of what it is. And in purity. Be a pure person. We got so many worldly church members. Got so many carnal church members. God said you're to be an example in purity. What it is to be pure. What it is to be holy. What it is to be righteous. Oh, listen, we got something here to do. Something to do. And so there's a great calling, you see. A great calling here to be an example of what a believer is. Now notice here in this chapter 9 in verse 22. I want you to notice here under this amazement of a Holy Ghost filled man. Number one, he was strengthened by a test. He was strengthened by a test. When you're led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, every test you have is going to help you. Going to help you. But if you're not led of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what? You're going to be overcome by your tests and by your trials in this life. And here, the trials and the tests do not destroy saving faith. It only develops real saving faith and distinguishes you from a false faith. It distinguishes you from a false faith when you're standing for that that is right. Listen, the Lord brought this out in the book of Luke in the sowing of the seed in chapter 8. And I'm reading it to you in chapter 8 in verse 13 through 15. And listen to it here in chapter 8 what Jesus said in 13 and 15. And he tells us here that some seed fell on a rock. They which when they hear receive the word with joy. You ever seen that? You ever seen somebody run to an altar and when they get up, they're just full of joy? And after a while, you can't find them.
Exactly right.
Oh, after a while, look at, watch this now. Watch this now. They receive the word with joy, and then they have no root.
That's right. No,
they didn't get rooted. They had an emotional stir. They had their feelings stirred up, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. There you are. But, notice, that which fell among thorns, are they which when they have heard go forth, and they're choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, they go to church.
Amen.
They go to church, but they're really in love with the cares and the riches and the things of the world, and they don't have any fruit of holiness and righteousness and godliness in their life. But here's the real, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, obey it, and bring forth fruit with patience.
Amen.
You're fooling yourself. If you're here today, you're fooling yourself. When you think you made a little profession, you got some morals about you, but that's all you got. What about God working in your heart?
Right.
What goes on in your heart? What goes on in your life at home? What goes on in your life at home? How much time do you spend with God at home? How much time do you spend with the Lord? You're fooling yourself.
Right.
You're fooling yourself. I'm talking about real salvation. It'll endure the test and the trials and the times that come your way.
Amen.
God's going to be first in your life above all else. First. And you see things getting in the way of your devotion, you know what you're going to do? You walking in the Spirit of God, you see things getting in your way of your devotion, you say, that's got to go.
That's
got to go. This has got to go. I got to give myself to God. This is what this Bible teaches. There ain't nothing in this life worth going to hell for.
Oh,
not only was he strengthened by the test in Acts chapter 9 and verse 23, he was shaped, S-H-A-P-E-D. He was shaped by time. It took time. But God was shaping him. In verse 23 of chapter 9, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now he was shaped by time. Remember, he's a chosen vessel. He's in the potter's hand. In the book of Romans, he wrote about it in 9:21. He's in the potter's hand. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel to dishonor? Amen. So here he's a vessel of honor. Now in Arabia, he was gone into Arabia. You all want to follow me here? I'll take you to the book of Galatians. And he'll unravel this for us here in the book of Galatians. And you go to the book of Galatians in chapter 1. And you'll find here that Paul went into Arabia for 3 years. Why is he going into Arabia? He was at Damascus for 3 years. Why was he staying there 3 years? I'm talking about here, he is being shaped by time. God is shaping him in this hour. In the book of Galatians, notice it here in chapter 1 and verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
Right.
He did not know the gospel. He did not know the truth. He knew Jesus is the gospel, but he needed to learn some things about what this meant, the gospel. It's not after man. Man didn't teach me this. Nor did I receive it of man. Where did I get what I've got? Did God teach me? Or did man teach me? There's a lot of folk that's yielded to a preacher's proposition. They made a profession under a preacher's proposition. You don't get saved under a preacher's proposition.
Amen.
Some people got saved under some kind of an emotion. I'm talking about the professing to be saved. Professing to be saved because they had a little emotional thing.
Amen.
Somebody got sick, somebody died, something bad happened, and I'm running to God. And after a while, then they found out they can't live right. They can't do right. They have no devotional life. They have no prayer life. They have no hunger and thirst for godliness and holiness and right. They don't have the thirst there. Look here. Paul said, this was all given me. It's a revelation. Galatians 1:11, where it's a revelation.
Amen.
God has revealed it to him. In Galatians chapter 1, notice that in verse 15 and 18, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Amen.
He didn't run to the apostles. He didn't run to the church. He didn't run to the apostles and say, hey, I need y'all to tell me something about Christ. No, he said, I want to tell you I did not. Go and check with flesh and blood. This is where you see the years come in. And notice in verse 18, he said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. 3 years he stayed in Arabia. Go a little further here in verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So he's went into Arabia for God to teach him the gospel. He gets along with God.
Amen.
God leads him. And here then he comes to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. 15 days with Peter. Now, over that Arabia, he went to Arabia with the Pentateuch. He knew the first five books of the Bible. He went to Arabia with the Psalms. He knew the Psalms. He went to Arabia with the prophets. That's what he had. He took that with him into Arabia, the prophets, the Psalms, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But look what he come back with.
Amen.
Look what he come back with as a divine revelation. He come back here with the book of Romans. He come back with the book of Ephesians. He come back with the book of Colossians, learning about Christ, learning about the gospel, learning who he was, what he's done, and where he's at now. I mean, he's learning all of this. God taught him 3 years.
Amen.
This is where he went to college. This is where he went to the seminary. It was God teaching him. I got this as a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes back with all of this truth, you see. And then he writes to us in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. He said, there, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And a lot of preachers stop right there and use that at a funeral.
Yeah.
Heard one here just a while back. He stopped right there. He's on the way. And I said, brother, why don't you go further? Why are you stopping there? But, there's a conjunction, the next verse. But, he has revealed them.
Amen.
He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. You see how people go wrong? They take a verse of Scripture and lift it out of its context.
Amen.
Then they come up with some kind of belief. And then they apply that to heaven. That verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Friend, the Bible said here, but he's revealed them unto us. We don't know, we haven't heard, haven't seen, but he's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Yea, all things, the deep things, the Spirit of God searches out the deep things of God. And he goes into some of the deep things. And he said, now, because of you Corinthians, you're so carnal, you're just babes in Christ. He said, you ought to be going on. He said, now I can't talk to you about these deep things. I'd like to talk about the deep things, but I can't. You can't take it in. But you go to Romans, and you go to Ephesians, and you go to Colossians, and you'll hear them talking about deep things of God. Deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is teaching. Oh, can I tell you something? This is more to this than just getting saved. more to this than just making a profession. There's a whole lot here we don't know, but the Holy Spirit says, I'm ready to teach you. I'm ready to teach you. And I want to tell you, don't listen to any man that ain't listened to God. Quit listening to any man that don't listen to God. If a man don't listen to God, you don't want to listen to him. Listen to a person that's listened to God. And you can tell whether he's listening to God if he goes to the truth and tells the truth like the Bible says it, or if he just dances around it, you know, and just want to hear, just like one fellow said, well, I don't like that expository preaching. No, I like that textual preaching. That way you can run wild, you know, and just say a lot of things that ain't even so.
That's right.
Amen. God wants the Bible preached.
Exactly.
All of it.
Amen.
Verse by verse.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
It's not to entertain.
No.
It's to instruct. Instruct, get you to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Alright, he was strengthened by the test. He was being shaped by time. And then number three, notice here, he was succored by togetherness. Succored by togetherness. That is, the togetherness of God's people got together and helped him to escape in verse 23 down through verse 25. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciple took him by night, laid him down by the wall in a basket. Here he was succored by togetherness. You know how we can really help people come together in one mind and one accord? I pray for preachers today that don't know some things that this Bible teaches and they fight against it. And I'm praying for them every day, Lord, bring us together in one mind. One accord in these gospel teachings here. All of these things that's in the Bible. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, you open my eyes to things I didn't know. Lord, you can open their eyes and let them see the truth that is in there. And then we can come together in one mind, one accord. I remember when I used to go to camp meeting. And I'm not saying anything about the camp meeting now. I'm talking about in the past when I went up there. Brother Edgar Thomas, he always wanted me to preach on Thursday nights. Said, that's when the biggest crowd will be here and there'll be a bunch of preachers here. He said, I know you're going to tell them the truth. He said, you're not going to hold back nothing. He said, I want you to, said, Brother Bill, he said, Brother Bill, you know me, don't hold back nothing. He wanted me to tell the truth about everything. And boy, that got some folk mad. A lot of folks, you know, didn't come back after that. They began to kick out. But he said to me, he said, Brother Bill, you told the truth. That's what I want. I want truth. I'm not like the fellow that come in there, the evangelist come in there, was preaching. Got up there and spewed off against what Brother Edgar actually believed and then left. And he's supposed to be there the next night and the next night and the next night. And he left. Got up there and spewed off. Because he had some preacher brethren that was daring him to get up there and say something against what Brother Edgar believed about the sovereignty of God. And he done it. Got up there and showed his ignorance. Got up there and showed his ignorance. I was there. This is not hearsay. I was there and he got up and showed his ignorance about the sovereignty of God. And then left. Brother Edgar was at hospital. He didn't even hear that. He had to go to the hospital and he come back and he found out what was said. That evangelist been knowing him a long time. He give in to pressure from his buddies. He didn't even call Brother Edgar and say, I'll not be back. You all know who that preacher was. Every one of you, except Sister Poole, knows who he was. He knew how to stir up a crowd. He knew how to entertain people. He knew how to draw people. He knew how to cut up and be a clown in the pulpit. But he didn't know the gospel. Finally wound up a few years passed on. He got him another woman. Yeah. You be mad of these clowns in the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
They're not full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So anyway, here, there's togetherness.
Yeah.
That's what I'm praying for, togetherness in men of God. Men of God to come together in one mind, one accord, and give God glory.
Amen.
Give God the glory. Not seeking glory for yourself. So here, we find here now, he was faithful. Faithful. These were unnamed disciples here. Got the basket and the ropes. They're unnamed. Nothing's mentioned here about who they was, what their name was. We just know they were disciples of the Lord. That's enough. That's enough. You don't have to have your name in it. Just live right. Just do right. You don't have to have your name mentioned. I don't have to have my name mentioned. Just live right and do right. And they've done right. And their name is not even mentioned. But I tell you, they'll have a reward in heaven one day when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They're not seeking glory for themselves. In the book of 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible said there, the foundation of God standeth sure. And here it is. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. They might not have been recognized here, dear friend, but they're known in heaven. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And what did they do? They departed from those that wanted to get rid of Paul. And they joined up with Paul and stood with Paul and said, we'll do everything we can to help you. Help you, because we know you're one of us. You're one of us. And so now we move to the next thing in chapter 9 and verse 26. And here in chapter 9, verse 26, we move from the truths of the amazement of a Holy Ghost-filled man. We come now, secondly, to the truth of the alarming. The alarming of a Holy Ghost-filled man. In verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed. Notice the word he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. This is the word here, essayed, means to be put to the test. He's being put to the test. He's attempting here to find fellowship with other believers, but they do not believe him. They do not believe him, and that's okay. Paul wrote later to the Thessalonian church in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, and he wrote there in chapter 5 in verse 21-22, he said, prove all things. Prove all things. And that's what these disciples are doing here. He's going to have to prove himself, you know, that he's real. And Paul writes later, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And he said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. And this is what they're doing. They're saying, I don't know about him. I know what he's been doing, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him about what he's done. He may be trying to trick us here. And so here he essayed, that is, he tried to find fellowship. Then notice the word afraid in verse 26. They are afraid. It means they're fearful. They're scared. They're distrusting him. It means alarmed. They're alarmed that he's even coming and acting like he's a saved man and he's one of the Lord's disciples. They're alarmed at that he would do that. So they don't trust him. But oh, listen, God knows how to work it out.
Amen.
God knows how to work it out. Friend, listen, when somebody tells me, I hear about somebody getting saved, I say, well, I hope they did. I hope they did. You know what Brother Sautner told a fellow one time? He come, you know, and he's jumping up and down. Brother Sautner, you know what? I got saved. I got saved. I've been saved. Brother Sautner said, son, I hope it's true. He said, come back 10 years from now and tell me that.
Amen.
Fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. We got a whole lot of corrupt fruit.
That's right.
Corrupt fruit. Here's the truth of alarming, the alarming of a Holy Ghost-filled man. You alarm people. These people don't trust you full of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you're just religious. You'll just fit in anywhere. Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
If you got just religion, you can just fit in anywhere. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, boy, you're going to have problems with people. You will have problems with people.
Amen.
But you'll not have problems with religion.
Amen.
Not unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You'll just fit right in. You're just one of us. But he was one of them, but they didn't believe it. And they're going to prove to him. He's got to prove himself to them. Notice here now what happened, how God works. God works for his children. There's three things: the truth, the alarming of the Holy Ghost filled man. Notice verse 27, the friend that commended him. Here's a friend that commended him. Verse 27, but conjunction, but Barnabas took him. Here's a man that senses Paul is saved. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he's got the fruit now. And here Barnabas sees the fruit, the friend that commended him here. And Barnabas was named the son of consolation back in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and 36. He was called the son of consolation. And here he's commended him. And you remember what Paul wrote the Ephesian church in 4:32, he said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And here's Barnabas being kind to Paul. And he said, Paul, I understand that you claim that you know the Lord. Tell me about it. And so he starts telling about what happened on the Damascus Road. And when he got through talking to him about it, and then he heard him about him preaching Christ, and they discussed that together, and he said, hey, I believe you're saved. I believe you're real. He could tell by what had happened in his life. You ever talk to somebody about, hey, tell me how you got saved? And they can't do it.
That's right.
They can't really tell you nothing about being saved.
Amen.
You ask them to give their testimony. They can't give you a testimony. I've done heard those things. And I've thought that I wished I had not have asked them. Because it didn't ring a bell. It didn't sound good. Nothing there.
Amen.
Like one fella, I said, he is arguing with me. You know, he didn't believe what I was saying. I said, well, do you tell me about... tell me about your experience with God.
Amen.
Tell me about your experience with God. And he said, well, he said, I believe God's a creator. I said, what else? He said, well, I believe God controls things. I said, what else? He said, well, what else? I said, you haven't told me nothing about being saved. I said, anybody that has sense, one eye and has sense, knows that God created all things.
Amen.
I said, I'm talking about a testimony. I said to him, I said, you don't have a testimony. That's why you can't give a testimony.
Right.
See, he was arguing with me and telling me I was all wrong. So I had to get just plain with him. I said, you ain't got a testimony.
Amen.
I said, I give you mine.
Amen.
You heard it. You don't want to agree with it. But I said, you don't have one.
Amen.
That's sad, folk.
Yes.
Professing something you don't have.
Amen.
Professing something you don't possess. So here, Barnabas said, I believe him. I've heard.
Yes.
He's told me what happened. And oh, listen, you can listen to a person you're fearing. And I want to tell you, you can listen to a person's testimony and talk about what the Lord means to them. And I'm going to tell you, unless they are really crafty, you can tell the difference.
Amen.
In that person. And they will reveal that difference. They will show that difference. Now the friend that committed him was Barnabas. Then there's a fellowship. The fellowship that claimed him after Barnabas helped him in verse 28. And he was with them now. Now he's with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Amen. He's not a person made a profession, run off out yonder and say, I believe I can live right at home just as good as any other place. No, he was going in and out. Where they was meeting, he was meeting. He was meeting with the church. Meeting with the church. He was not like these folk, you know, say, I believe I can live right at home. I don't need to go to church. I don't think I need to be baptized. I don't need to join the church. Well, why don't they want to join up with a local assembly? Why do they want to come to church and don't want to be a member of that local assembly? You know why? They're afraid something's going to be called upon them to do something. Like a fellow said here the other day, I was talking to him. He said, he's a lost man. He said, oh, you want me to come to church and pray tithes? See? A lot of folk won't join a church because they're afraid they might have to pay the tithe. Well, they're going to pay it anyway. You can freely pray it or God will collect it. It's His. He said, the tithe is whose? The tithe is mine. And you'll either pay it to Him freely or He'll take it from you. He knows how to reach down and get it. He knows how to reach down and get it. So here, the fellowship that claimed Him, He was with them going in and out. And John said in 1 John 1 and 3, He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And here, Paul is right in there with them, and they're loving one another. Can't you see Paul going in there after he's been committed? And boy, they began to hug one another, and they kissed on the cheek. Now, see them do that. They kissed each other on the cheek. The men kissing the men, women kissing the women, not the men kissing the women, not the women kissing the men, but kissing the same sex, and they're hugging and kissing one another. They're just glad that Paul got saved. Oh, down that verse 31, now they're resting. They're resting. I'm praying, Lord, you could send an angel over there in the Ukraine. You sent one angel one time and killed 185,000. I said, Lord, you could wipe out that army if you wanted to. You can wipe them out. Lord, restrain them. If it be thy will, Lord, restrain them. But I say, Lord, I know you've got a will and you've got a purpose and we don't see through it all the time. But Lord, if it could be your will, restrain them, defeat them.
Yes.
Some of your people are there.
That's right.
They love you.
Amen.
Fellowship claimed Him.
Yes, praise God.
I was so glad when I got saved. I couldn't hardly wait to get baptized.
Amen.
I couldn't hardly wait to join the church.
Amen?
That's right. I couldn't hardly wait to join that church, that local assembly. I wanted to go all the way. Because I was living in the light that I had. And I wanted to be baptized. My wife and I both got baptized in the wintertime in the Tennessee River. And it was cold, boy. I mean, it was cold that day. I walked out in that water and got out there. I said, whoo, this is cold, boy. But we got baptized. Nobody got sick. Nobody got a cold from it. In the wintertime. Oh, this is the way it is, folks. When you get saved, you want to go all the way with God. You don't sit around saying, well, I don't know whether I want to be baptized or not. I don't know whether I want to, you know, join the church, then a local church or not. You know, I don't know. I've got to make up my mind. Paul, right away, went looking for disciples of the Lord that he'd once persecuted. Number three, not only here the fellowship that claimed him, but here's the faith that compelled him. He's got saving faith in verse 29. And he spake what? Boldly, with liberty.
Amen.
Hey, he's not bound. He's not bound down and said, well, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't really know what to say, what's happened to me. Amen. I remember old Brother Richie, remember I told you about him, us taking that tape recorder over in Jamaica. They never had seen a tape recorder in Jamaica. Had a little small tape recorder, and they set it down on the table, and those black boys are standing around there, they were saved boys, and he was teaching them, you know, the Word of God, and somebody professed, you know, to be saved, and also professing to preach. And so, we put a tape in that recorder and hooked it up there, you know, and there they were, they're standing looking at that thing. They never saw nothing like that. And Richard Dunn told him, you know, you talk into that, and then you can play back what you said. And they'd never seen that before. So Richie, we got the tape in there, and he turned it on. He said, he looked at one black boy, and he said, speak to it, man. That's what they say, man, over there. They say, mon. Speak to it, man. And the little black fellow said, he went like this, man, I don't know what to say to it. Now, Paul wasn't like that. We're not making fun of them. It's just the fact that they hadn't seen nothing like that. They didn't know what to say. It kind of shocked them. And so, anyhow, you see, Paul, He didn't go over there and say, well, I really don't know what to say. No, he spoke boldly, clearly, confidently. That word boldly means that a man is filled with the Holy Ghost. That's another word there for a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He speaks boldly, clearly, confidently, with liberty. He knows what he's talking about. So here's the faith that compelled him. And boy, he come on in the book of Galatians 1, 23 and 24, and all those in Judea heard about him getting saved. And they said, why, what about that? The one that once persecuted us, persecuted the faith of the Son of God, said now he's preaching the faith. He's preaching the faith. He's talking about it. He's testifying to the faith he once tried to destroy, tried to do away with.
Amen.
Oh, this is real, ain't it?
Yes.
They couldn't stop him. They got over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, and he's on his missionary journey. They said, oh, Paul, listen, there's trouble lying ahead for you. You're going to be put in jail. You're going to be put in chain. You're going to be put in bond. And he said, I know it. He said, the Holy Ghost has already told me in Acts chapter 20 and verse 23. He said, the Holy Ghost has already told me that bonds and afflictions are waiting me. They're just out there waiting till I get there. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy and to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's been me. I want to finish the course. That's the way he put about it. He said, I want to tell you, I want to finish. I want to finish right. I want to finish in joy. In joy.
Yes.
This is the way it is. In reality.
Amen.
I don't know what time I started. Anybody know?
Don't matter.
But I got one other thing. Verse 31. We jump down to verse 31. We come from the truth of amazement of a Holy Ghost filled man. We come to the truth of the alarming of a Holy Ghost filled man. We come now thirdly to the truth of the effects. The effects of a Holy Ghost filled man. Look how it affected everybody in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, the churches, in verse 31. Affected. Not E, but A. Effect. The truth of the effects of a Holy Ghost filled man. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Look what an effect that had on the churches. Him getting saved. Then listen.
Yes.
Now listen to me. These are great principles here. If you claim to be saved, it ought to affect other people.
Amen.
It ought to affect other people. I'm not bragging on myself, but I had classmates in school. And my brother Donnell got saved under my ministry. And he met one of my classmates. He was a wicked fella. Tough too. And he and I used to fight. And he met him and he asked about me.
Amen.
He said, is he still living? And he said, yeah. Said he's living. Said he's a pastor down in LaGrange, Georgia. A pastor? And yeah, I said he got saved and said I got saved under his ministry.
Amen.
He said, man, I can't believe that. See, this is like it was, Paul.
Yes.
He said, I can't believe that. He said, why, he was the meanest one in school. And when Donnell told me that, I said, who's talking? I said, he was the one that was so mean. And I said, and you know it. You know what he done to you. And then I took it up. I was not at school one day. I was sick. So he picked on Donnell, my younger brother, and made him march. We walked to school. He made him march home. 1-2, 1-2, stop. Donnell, stop. 1-2, 1-2, stop. He marched my brother home like that. And Donnell come home crying. Told me what old Bobby had done. I said, you wait, I'll get him tomorrow. And I did. And he got another boy. I mean, he was just picking on somebody, you know, younger than him. But anyway, he couldn't believe I got saved. And trying liquor on, I was the mean. The reason he said that, because I was the one that gave him a whipping. I give him two whippings.
Amen.
I was taking up for those that he tried to run over. I told him, I said, you want to fight? I said, fight me. Quit jumping on these younger fellers. So that's the way it was. But what I'm talking about, y'all listening, what I'm talking about here this morning, friend, your life is going to affect people when you really get saved. You're just a churchgoer. You got a few little morals that ain't going to work. It's got to be a miraculous change. And when he got saved, it was a miraculous change. And look at how it affected the churches. Look how it affected other people that knew what it was to be saved.
Amen.
All right, I'll give you this right quickly and I'll close. The churches, number one, were resting. Resting. Rest means there was quietness and peace. Oh, I prayed for that over in the Ukraine. Lord, give them the peace that passeth all understanding in their heart, in their lives, as the bullets are flying, the bombs are coming. Lord, the soldiers are coming. Give your people, oh God, a peace that passeth all understanding in the midst of it. And here's the churches were resting. Number two, the churches were rebuilding. That they was edified, rebuilding. The churches were reverential. The fear of God got on them, seeing what God had done. The churches were reassured. In verse 31, they're walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The churches were reproducing. They multiplied. That's a true church. That's a real church, folks. Resting, rebuilding, reverential, reassured, reproducing. The churches was a reproduction of the Christ-like life.
Amen.
That's what they're reproducing. A Christ-like life. Conversions was taking place.
Yes.
People were being saved. Now these verses to go with all of that, but our time done got up, I can't get into the verses. It's so important to be yielded to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Guided, directed, sensitive. You stand with us, Father. Thank you for your wonderful salvation and giving us, Lord, a pattern of a man saved by grace that was once a religious lost man.
Amen.
But Lord, how wonderful it is to see how you worked. And here we are preaching from his life and the epistles that you gave him to write, to give to the churches.
Amen.
To help us. And Lord, I thank you for a little bit of light.
Yes.
That you've given me.
Amen.
And I want to walk in the light that you've given me.
Amen.
And I pray you'll bless each one here today. Oh God, help us all to walk in the light we have. and not to stop there, but to seek for more light. And it means to have more responsibility.
Yes.
But Lord, we want to go on and be what you'd have us to be.
Amen.
Help us not to shrink back, but to go forward. And the Holy Ghost will guide and direct us and talk to us.
Yes.
And open the wonderful, unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
And bear witness to others of who you are in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.